Hello and welcome to Career Stories, where we talk about life after business school. My name is Cindy Hosey. I am an executive coach with Graduate Career Services at Indiana University's Kelley School of Business. Here at GCS, we are passionate about coaching young professionals to launch meaningful, rewarding careers. Our guest today is Ram Muthukrishnan. Ram is a product manager at HelloSign, which is a Dropbox company. He graduated from the Kelley School of Business with a master's degree in information systems in 2016. Welcome to the podcast, Ram.
Hey, Cindy.
How are you?
Great. Yeah, it's good to hear from you.
I know. I haven't seen you since you left campus in 2016.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm hoping to plan a trip to Bloomington.
Do you have a date on that? Are you just teasing me? Is that real?
No, I'm really planning to visit Bloomington sometime in May and also Indianapolis to visit some of my ex-colleagues.
Will you make a point to look me up when you're on campus?
Sure, yeah, that's the plan, yeah.
I'll show you around our new career services building here at Kelley. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, that would be awesome. Well, yeah. I'm curious, where in the world are we calling from today?
I'm currently in San Francisco at the HelloSign office.
Okay. But that's not where you started your journey after graduating. Tell me a little bit about that journey of what's happened since you graduated.
Yeah, sure. So once I graduated from the MSIS program, I started working as a senior consultant for Capgemini Consulting. Mm-hmm. Based at their Indianapolis office. Mm-hmm. I worked there for about a year and a half, where I worked with Fortune 500 healthcare clients, mm-hmm. Working on system integrations. After a year and a half, I had to move to San Francisco because my fiance got a job here and I had to look for a new job in a new city far from Indianapolis. So, yeah. So that was an interesting journey. I had to really make my network, spread the news to my network that I'm looking for a job in San Francisco and get advice from a lot of people to get to HelloSign and starting my career in San Francisco again. So,
yeah, I loved how networking was your first step in mm-hmm. making sure you had your friends and family looking out for you.
Yeah, sure. So you're in Indianapolis, which is not a huge city. So you need to reach out to people in other places to see how they've made the transition and all that. So, yeah, that's why I thought network connections were really crucial in learning how to navigate different career paths.
Yeah, and it sounds like it not only helped you move from Capgemini to HelloSign, but you also mentioned that you've been promoted since you started at HelloSign.
Sure. Yeah. So I started as an implementation manager. So the way I approached my Indianapolis to San Francisco journey was, how am I going to find a new role that aligns with my current Capgemini experience? Mm-hmm. So I was doing professional services for Capgemini and I was looking for a similar experience. So I thought that was the quicker and the most efficient way to get into a startup.
Yeah, in small steps.
California. Yeah. So I thought that was the first step and applied for a professional services related role in California startups and then got into HelloSign. So once I started at HelloSign, or even when I started at Capgemini, I always had interest in product management. So product management slightly differs, or it's significantly different from professional services in the sense that you're working on a product and not projects. Mm-hmm. So I always had interest in that. And when I started working at HelloSign, I conveyed my interest and worked closely with the product team here. As a professional services implementation manager, I had the opportunity to interact with a lot of customers. And that's key if you're looking to get into product management as well. So you need to understand the customer and the product really well. I got both of that in that role and made a case to transition into product management by actually doing some product management in my implementation role.
What's your favorite part of product management?
My favorite part is that it differs from project or professional services in an interesting way. So in product management, you talk to a lot of customers, you get all their feedback, you identify patterns and then find a solution or find a feature that solves all the problems and also adds value to your whole product as such. Mm-hmm. Whereas in a project-driven world, you are just focused on solving one customer's problem and then you're moving on to the next project or moving on to the next customer and working with their problems.
It seems like the product management is more about continuous innovation and
right.
making that product better and better and better
right.
to meet changing needs of your customers.
Yeah, sure. So it's also like looking at the bigger picture and taking a holistic view of all customer issues and then coming up with a solution that best satisfies the needs of all the customers. Yeah.
Do you do some benchmarking against competitive products as well?
Sure. So we do have a product marketing team. So I work really close with the marketing team on competitive analysis and see where the competitors are when compared to our own products. That's a good way to understand where we stand in the market and what our strengths and weaknesses are. At the same time, I also make it a point not to focus too much on understanding our competitive landscape. At the end of the day, our customers are like the ones that are most important. They're the ones paying us, not our competitors. So I just look at our competitors to see and understand where we stand in the market. But other than that, for any product decisions, we focus primarily on customer feedback and our vision for the product.
As you were talking about that, you know, gauging the competition, I just had an image of my mind of somebody running a track meet and they just take a glance over just to see where their competitors are in the field. And then they keep focused on their own race.
Exactly. Yeah. That's a great way to put it. Yeah.
If you
spend too much time focusing on them, then they go ahead of you.
Right. Yeah. Right. Or you trip.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So how do you feel like the MSIS program prepared you for this career path?
Sure, that's a pretty loaded question. So I'm going to go back to my career before MSIS.
Okay.
So I did my undergrad in information technology and started working as a software developer. So I was working at a gaming company in India, but all our customers were in the US or in Australia. So when I was working as a developer, I was always curious about like, who's our customer? What are we building? Who are we building for? Why is this looking in a certain way? Why are we doing things in a certain way? So I got to interact a lot, like because of my inquisitive nature, with my product team at my previous company when I was a developer. So that kind of motivated me to pursue product management as a career. And quickly I realized, just with my software developer skill set, it's not enough to become a product manager and I need to know the business skills. And that's when I started looking for a program that will help me with the business acumen that's needed for a product role. And at the same time, I wanted this program to be slightly technical as well so that I can get into tech-based product management.
Okay.
Yeah, so that was my goal. And I found Kelly through a friend who graduated from this program. And I applied and fortunately got in. Once I got in, I thought one of the main things that I lacked and that I wanted to learn from the program was business skills and getting comfortable with presenting and talking in front of an audience.
Oh,
yeah.
The MSIS is built on that. Yes.
Yeah. So that was like, if I have to like summarize MSIS, that was the highlight. And that definitely helped with my job search, even in my current role, even in my day-to-day role, give presentations to people and try to influence people with presentations and get their buy-in. So it's like the bread and butter of product management as well.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So I think like that's where Kelly and the MSIS program really helped, getting all the business skills that you need, presentation skills, talking in front of an audience, and creating slide decks that is tailored to an audience. That's really important because you can't just use the same format for everybody. Kelly really teaches you to focus on your audience and also teaches you a structured approach on presenting your solution so that your audience don't lose their way when they're going through the presentation.
Yeah, and there's a lot of critical thinking skills that go into building that business solution.
Yeah. When I think about it, I get reminded about Professor Gerd's course on IT strategy. I thought that was really helpful.
Yes.
And there is this pyramid structure that goes into creating presentations. So where you start with presenting your recommendation and then dive deep into each of your recommendations.
It's inductive thinking rather than our traditional deductive thinking.
Exactly. Yeah. So the way I've seen some presentations work is like they talk about the problem and then they talk about like
reasons why you might want to solve it.
Yeah. And then they get to the solution only at the end. As an audience, it's kind of dragging a little bit and you are waiting for a long time and you've already spent enough understanding the presentation. And by the time you get to the actual solution, you lose interest. I think like that was a great learning during the program as how to create effective presentations and deliver it, tailoring it to your audience.
Yeah, because your audience already knows they have a problem, right? They're looking for a solution.
Yeah. Yeah, totally. Yeah, and in addition to that, I also thought there were some really interesting courses like game theory, business process modeling, which influences my day-to-day job in some way, but it's not directly tied to the job. But having that understanding of game theory helps you in like working on competitive landscape that we just spoke about. Yeah. So at Kelly, I thought like I had the freedom to, especially in my spring semester, I had the freedom to select courses that I'm most interested in and also learn skills that I'm most interested in.
Did you have some time to pursue interests outside of the classroom while you were here in Bloomington?
Totally. Yeah. So that's something that I was evaluating when I was looking for a program. The amount of opportunities that you get at Kelly is unparalleled. I think like I was involved, I was a VP of community service where I got to like run few community service events with the whole MSIS badge. So that was really fun. And I think like we did one fundraiser type of event as well. So, and there were a lot of social events where you interact with your classmates, see what they're working on, like what courses they're taking, and then learn from their projects as well. So the amount of opportunities was just unparalleled in addition to the curriculum itself.
And I notice as I'm looking at your LinkedIn profile, I notice that you never stopped that, I don't know what you call that drive to get involved above and beyond your work, because you taught at Ivy Tech Community College and you've done some pro bono consulting projects and...
Yeah, that's definitely something that's close to me. Like wherever I am, I try to get involved with the community around me and see where I can add value. When I was working in Capgemini, I had most of my weekends free and I was looking for a way to contribute. And Ivy Tech seemed to be a great option to help students who are looking for career transitions by getting a degree in a community college. So that was in alignment with my goals and also like an efficient way to spend time learning and meeting new people and helping them to get where they want to.
I so respect that value of using your time and talent to make a difference in the world.
Yeah, thank you.
Now, I noticed too, you know, you mentioned as a consultant with Capgemini, you had weekends free. What was it like, the consulting lifestyle, during your weekly schedule?
So weekly, I was fortunate to get local projects when I was at Capgemini. My commute or travel was mostly to Bloomington, which was awesome.
Yes.
Got to like drive around the campus, explore some of the restaurants that I've not tried when I was in campus just because of the program and like all the work involved in the program. So I got to like explore all of that during my customer visits. During the weekends, there was not really a lot of travel. But I've heard from my friends that if you're in different projects, you might be traveling during the weekends too. So that might take a lot of efforts on your end to like plan your travel and everything. But in my case, it was just simple travel to Bloomington, which I liked anyways. I had a lot of time available during the weekends and I utilized it to either work on the curriculum for Ivy Tech or focus on improving my skills and planning my move to San Francisco.
So what was that like to transition from a consulting environment to, it was a startup environment, but it is a corporate environment.
It is. Yeah, it was 180 degree shift from what I was doing in Capgemini. There were a lot of new things. Even on my first day, I was actually asked to write some programs to make things simpler, which I thought was really challenging, given that I've lost quite a bit of touch with programming. So I thought, like, I was learning at a rapid pace when I joined HelloSign, and the way things work in San Francisco is also like slightly different when it comes to the speed and the competition.
How so?
In consulting, you're just working with one client and you're working on a very specific project that ties to a goal of the company. Whereas when you're working in a startup, everything that you do matters directly to the company that you're working with, and you could contribute in so many different ways, and you could immediately see the results of your work in a startup.
Yeah, it's almost like you're going to places and covering new territories that no one else has done before.
Yeah, sometimes like you have to definitely be aware of, and then get help whenever you need. People, at least like in my experience, I've noticed that people trust you with whatever you're proposing, and then at the same time they do ask questions, but they trust your judgment. A lot of it is at stake, but as long as you work hard and make the right calls, it's a fun experience. Challenging but fun experience.
So what do you feel like is the next learning experience or the next challenge that you want to tackle as you develop as a professional?
In my current role, I'm working with product and I'm working with people a lot. In future, I definitely want to get better at managing or leading people as our team grows bigger. So right now I'm an individual contributor working with different people, collaborating with different people, but I see my team growing in the next few years and I want to be prepared to lead the team in the most effective and efficient way. Yeah.
Yeah. In my coaching, as I coach people who are on that edge of transitioning from the individual contributor to a manager of people and teams, I noticed the hardest aspect of that is letting go of being the subject matter expert and empowering other people to become that.
Exactly. And I could relate to this really well, because like I came from a role, or like we just spoke about a transition from implementation manager to product management, right? So when I was an implementation manager, I was the product subject matter expert when it comes to answering any questions about the product. But then in this new role, I'm not an expert anymore. My expertise is working with other teams and working on a particular feature and delivering that feature.
Yeah. Trusting your subject matter experts when you need information.
Right. Exactly. In this case, engineering is a subject matter expert when it comes to like deciding what's feasible and what's not. And marketing is a subject matter expert when it comes to giving us an overview of what's going on in the market. What can we work on to get more customers, get more users? So they are the experts. So you have to trust their judgment more. And then you have to form a collective opinion by interacting with a lot of people. And you have to be comfortable with being wrong and accepting that you're wrong at times. Yeah. And then course correct along the way.
Yeah. What do you feel like is a manageable timeline to continue to make these pivots in your career from expert to manager?
Yeah. I think like it really depends on the culture of the organization and the needs of the organization. So in my case, though I had interest in product management, I wasn't able to immediately get into that role when I started at HelloSign. I had to prove myself in the role that I was hired for. And I had to be mindful about that. Like the company really hired me for my expertise in professional services and implementations. So I had to establish my credibility there and then constantly work with the teams that I want to be part of. And then convey and show that I'm interested in that and be patient. And actually, like, as I said, I did product management for a few months in my previous role, in addition to what I was already doing. So you have to go above and beyond at times. And when the opportunity was right and my company was looking for a product manager, and the senior product manager reached out to me saying, hey, I know you've shown a lot of interest and you've actually worked on a couple of product management related things. Would you consider this opportunity? I was like, great. Yeah, that's what I was waiting for. So,
yeah. Do you notice a difference in the way that Capgemini and HelloSign approached management? Like, what kind of feedback tools and systems and mechanisms did they have?
Yeah, that's a great question. I think like both the companies again differed a lot when it comes to career growth. Both had really solid learning and career growth platforms, but their approaches were entirely different. So in Capgemini, I was encouraged to learn new topics like project management, Salesforce, or new methodologies like Kanban. I was allowed to like participate in trainings that are focused towards that, but also like you have to make sure that it helps you in your job at the same time to be better at your job. Mm-hmm. So that was Capgemini's approach towards career development. And the transition from a junior role to a senior role, that really happens when you show years of experience and expertise in the field that you are in. Say, let's say you're a Salesforce consultant. How many successful implementations have you had? What was the impact? Were you able to expand the team or mm-hmm. contribute to the expansion of your team? How did you convince your client? How did you delight your client? So those were the criteria. And I feel like it took a longer time in Capgemini when compared to a startup like HelloSign. In HelloSign, as I said, everything was moving at a rapid pace. And the most surprising thing when I joined HelloSign was we had weekly one-on-ones. That was never the case with my previous company or like even in my role in India. So you meet with your manager every week and then talk about your personal growth, also professional growth every week. The whole company's mindset is to think about how are you growing every week? What can I help you with? I thought like that really helped expedite where I wanted to be and also like forced me to think deeply every week to grow the skills that I need to get to a product management role.
It sounds like a high challenge, high support environment there.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah. Whereas in Capgemini, I think like the focus was to make you an expert in one area. Like if you're hired for Salesforce consulting, you are an expert in that.
Okay. Yeah. Interesting. Yeah. I want to kind of rewind the clock and think back to your second semester in the MSIS program before any of this career stuff happened. Mm-hmm. Can you remember what life was like for you as you were recruiting? Because you were recruiting in the second semester, right?
Yeah, I was. Yeah. Yeah, that was pretty stressful because like you're still looking for a job at the same time you're doing all your spring semester courses as well. Mm-hmm. But I think like the key thing, if I were to do it all over again, was to stick to a plan and then execute on that plan. Mm-hmm. So I think like early on in my spring semester, I was still debating between going for an internship versus a full-time role.
Yeah, I noticed that too. Those who stick to their plan tend to land sooner.
Right. Yeah, I was wavering between that. So if I had to do it all over again, as I said, like I would definitely stick to a plan and execute it. Maybe around March, I said like, okay, I'm going for full-time, like no more internships. And then I started working towards that. And I think it was in early February. And then at the end of February, I was able to get a job in Capgemini. So I think like it's really key to stick to a plan.
Yeah, I think it makes it easier to articulate to prospective employers what you truly want and be convincing as you're saying that.
Right. Yeah. And again, like there are different approaches like in sticking to a plan as well. So another decision that I had to make was, am I going to go for a specialized consulting role or just a general consulting role where you learn and then specialize in something else? Mm-hmm. So for example, one of my friends wanted to really become a data engineer or like a consulting role in data. Mm-hmm. But whereas my approach was I wanted to get into consulting and client-facing roles. I don't mind if it's in data or like I don't mind if it's in Salesforce or something new where I have to learn. So that was also like another decision where I had to like make my mind early on and then work towards that. Mm-hmm. So if you are not interested in risk, then you have to like decide that, okay, that's not going to be my focus because like all the opportunities that come your way, you have to like really think about it and analyze if that would be something that you would enjoy 2 years from now.
Right. And, you know, so often students will come into the program thinking, they just think in very general terms, I want to be a consultant. Mm-hmm. And when asked why, they often say, because I like to travel. And they miss the whole depth of what kind of consulting do you want to do? What kind of clients do you want to work with? What do you want your contribution to be?
Yeah. Sure. Yeah. Yeah. So I think like that's a misconception. So like when you get into the program, you think about consulting in a different way. But after you start your career, that's when you really get the hang of what does it really mean to be a consultant? So, yeah.
And I'm guessing you use a lot of those same consulting skills in your work as a product manager as well, because you're in those cross-functional teams.
Yeah, sure. So absolutely. So client-facing experience here, you're talking to customers as a product manager day in and day out. Mm-hmm. So that's something that you learn from consulting really well as well, because you spend most of your day with clients in consulting. So I think that's one. And then again, like presenting solutions to stakeholders, that's a really common thing in consulting. And you are doing the same thing in product management as well, but you're doing internally with other teams, say sales. You have to get their buy-in on what you're going to work on for the next quarter, so that they can be prepared to sell that to our users or customers. There are definitely a lot of similarities between consulting and product management.
So for the students who are listening in to our conversation right now, who think they want to go from consulting into product management, what would be your advice for them?
So first, like why? So answering the why, like why do you want to be a product manager? What are you looking for in product management? So analyzing that and having a clear answer to that would help make the transition really smoother. At the same time, assessing where you are. So if you are a consultant or if you're doing a different role, what are your gaps? So like, where do you need to focus on? And then having a conversation with your manager to see how you can fill those gaps. What kind of new skills can you learn? Who can you work with within the company to learn those skills? And then showing some progress to the role that you're trying to get to. So in my case, it was product management. So I constantly worked with a senior product manager and showed him what I was doing and how I was addressing those gaps that I had in my previous role.
I am so happy for you, Ram.
Yeah.
I truly am.
Thank you.
So if a student wanted to reach out to you for further advice, what would be the best way for them to get in touch with you?
LinkedIn. So I'm pretty active on LinkedIn. I've already got a couple of informational interviews through LinkedIn from current Kelly students. So I'm pretty good at responding to LinkedIn requests and messages. So that would be the best way to reach me.
Yeah. Is it best for the students to tell you who they are and why they're reaching out?
Yeah. So about reaching out, I think like Kelly also does a really good job of coaching students to reach out in the most effective way. I've recently noticed that like a lot of students just reach out saying that, hey, I'm interested in careers at your company. That doesn't really like, these are not Kelly students. These are like students from other colleges. That doesn't give me a lot about what your interests are, like why are you interested in a particular role. I've even got requests like, can you refer me to any open positions in your company? So
that's asking you to put your reputation on the line.
Yeah. And also like I have to look at all the roles, open roles in my company and then find a fit. So nobody's going to do that. At least like most people would do that. And I would never do that. So I think like Kelly does a great job of coaching the students to reach out effectively to alumni and get their feedback and work with them before making that ask for referral.
Yeah. Yeah. And finding out if your company really is a good fit for them.
Yeah. Yeah. It's a two-way conversation, right? I know you're looking for a job. I know we are looking for a great person to fill that role. So if there's a match, there's no question in like referring this person. Mm-hmm. So if you just make the case in the right way, I think definitely I've had a lot of conversation with Kelly students and their approach has been really professional towards this. So
yeah. Is it a little more personal?
Yeah, totally. Yeah. So they usually set up a meeting with me, and then we talk about their interests and then like how I can help them and like where they can contribute in my company. So they're proactive about it. They do their research and homework on what roles are there and how it matches their expectation and experience. And then they make a case for like, so this is why I think I'm a good fit.
Very often they find the second conversation, at least students are like, what do I talk to them about next? What would your suggestion be for someone who wants to talk to you a second time?
Yeah, so if I want to talk to a person second time, it has to be like based on the first conversation. Like if we discussed on some improvements, mm-hmm. talk about some progress on those improvements. Let's say like we said, okay, you need to improve on these skills to be considered for this role. So do some work on it and then reach out saying that like, hey, I looked into these things and I'd love to discuss where I am with this now.
Yeah.
That would be a great topic for second conversation. And also like, it doesn't have to be a call or a meeting. Keep that conversation going by like sending interesting articles that you find that might be relevant to our first conversation. And then say that, hey, I thought you might be interested in it.
Yeah. Friendly. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Rom, I want to honor your time, and I am so grateful that you took this time out of your busy schedule to share with our MSIS program. Is there anything you wanted to add before we close our conversation?
No, I'm really thankful to the MSIS program and the wonderful staff for like helping me get where I am today, and I hope to definitely give back to the college as well.
Thank you, Rom.
Yeah.
As we end today's episode, think about Rom's advice to assess your skills and interests and be intentional about designing the next step in your career. It's important to ask your manager and your network for help in order to close any skill gaps, especially if you're looking to transition to another function or industry. I'm Cindy Hosey. Thanks for listening to Career Stories.